has placed upon my heart. I want to tell you this before I read my scripture lesson today, that as I stand before you today, I'm going to brag about you. I'm certainly not going to brag about me, but I am going to boast about the one that I believe we can boast about. And I want to call your attention to a scripture reading that's found in the gospel according to Matthew chapter 8. And I would like to read just a few verses beginning with verse 23. Matthew chapter 8, beginning with verse 23. It says, "And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him, and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this?" Now let me try to read that again. Let me try to read that like it really ought to be read. "But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" And I'm going to stop reading there with verse 27. That, the way that is constructed, it sounds like that it could be a question, doesn't it? What manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? It sounds like they could have been asking a question. What manner of man is this? But that's not what it was. If you look at the end of that statement, it had an exclamation point. It was an exclamatory statement. Wow, what manner of man this is, that even the elements, even the wind and the sea would obey him. I want to use that today for a title, What Manner of Man Is This? And speak to you today in reference to Jesus. You know, there are great men that we read about throughout the Bible. We can go back into the Old Testament, and we could read about men like Abraham, Moses, some of the prophets, Elisha, Isaiah, Daniel, some of the kings like Josiah. And we could go into the New Testament and we could read about the apostles and someone like the Apostle Paul who labored so diligently for the Lord. And we could look at them and say that they were all wonderful and humble servants of the Lord. But I'm going to tell you that if you were to take all of them, and the ones that I mentioned are only a few, you could add whoever you wanted to that list. And if you were to take all of them and combine them into one person, they wouldn't come anywhere close to being equal with Jesus. I'm telling you, there was nobody like him. There was nobody like him before him. There was no one like him while he was here, and there has been no one like him since he left and ascended back to heaven. Jesus is in a class all by himself. And he is worthy of exaltation. And he is worthy of glory. And he is worthy of us boasting about him. And you may have not seen with your natural eye, you may have not seen the things that people witnessed while he was actually here. But haven't you ever, in your experience in life with the Lord Jesus Christ, haven't you ever made that same statement? What manner of man is this? I've never known anybody like him. And I do know him. I don't just know what the Bible says about him. I know him in a pardon and forgiveness of sin. You know, I was thinking about, and what we have read about here was a natural occurrence. They were witnessing great wind. And you know, we still, from time to time today, we still see that happening. I know it was just within the last 2 weeks maybe that we experienced a bad storm. And I mean, the wind was really, it was really moving. We had a powerful wind. I remember being at the house and hearing the effects of the wind and the rain and hearing the noise that the storm was making. And sometimes if we feel like it's going to be too bad, then all we can do is hunker down and maybe look for shelter. But listen, Jesus was in control of the wind. And if you think about that, about what we read about here, how that the disciples were out there and they became afraid. They thought that this was something that was going to take their lives. They said, the Bible tells us here that they said to Jesus, "Lord, save us, we perish. This is going to kill us. We're going to die in this." And Jesus said, "Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?" Then he arose and rebuked the winds. There's another account that we're given where Jesus spoke to the tempest and he just said, "Peace, be still." Now, I know that everybody in the world today doesn't do this, but they should. There are those in the world today that don't acknowledge Jesus for who he is, but they should. And for all of those who don't, they're going to pay a great price for that. But I'm going to tell you something today, that the one that can speak to the wind and say, "Peace, be still," and the wind will just lay down calm at his feet, "I'll call you Lord. I call him Lord." Jesus is the only one that has the power to do such things. You know, there are so many things that can be said about Jesus that can only be said about him. There are talents that men have been given and women have been given, and there are people that oftentimes share a similar talent. One person might be able to do what another person is able to do, but listen, there are things that can be said about the Lord Jesus Christ that can only be said about him. That cannot be said about anyone else. There are things that he can do that no one else can do. There are things that he has done that no one else could have done. Listen, Jesus is the greatest man that ever walked the earth. And he will remain that. His equal will never be born. There was no one born before him that could equal him. There will never be anyone born after him that can equal him. He was the greatest of all. It was told when he was about to be born that he shall be great. And certainly he was. We read about a time in the 7th chapter of the Gospel of John. Jesus had gone to Jerusalem there for one of the feasts. And there on the feast day, he was in the temple. And he was actually causing quite a stir. The things that the Lord was saying were causing quite a stir among the people. To the point that the Bible says that there was a division because of him. Because there were some that believed and there were some that didn't. And there was a division because of that. And there were some of the Jewish officers there. And the Bible talks about the fact that there were some that could have taken him and could have delivered him up to the magistrates, but they didn't do it. And when these men came to the Pharisees, scribes and the Pharisees and the high priests, when they came to them, they asked them, why didn't you subdue him? Why didn't you take him and bring him to us? And you know what their answer was? And you can find this in John 7, verse 46. They said, never man spake like this man. Never. We never heard anybody like that. Jesus spoke in a way that no one has ever spoken. And, you know, it wasn't that he used a different dialect, or it wasn't that he used different words or different vocabulary. He spoke with the authority that no one ever spoke with. You know, listen, that's the reason that Jesus could speak to the wind the way that he did, and it would obey him, because he had power and he had authority when he spoke. That's the reason that we read about in the very beginning of the Scriptures, when the Bible tells us how that God spoke and these things would happen. Let there be light, and there was light, because he spoke with such regal authority that it had to obey. The wind had to cease when Jesus commanded it to cease. It had to cease. And it says, then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled. Well, no kidding. The men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that the winds and the sea obey him? I want to share some scripture with you found in the 13th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew. And this was concerning a time when the Lord Jesus Christ had gone to had returned to his home. He had gone to Nazareth, and he had taught them there, and there were things that just astounded the people. If you look in Matthew chapter 13, beginning with verse 53, it says, "And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he was coming to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas, and his sisters? Are they not all with us? Whence hath this man all these things?" They were astonished at his knowledge. They were astonished at his wisdom and all that he could was able to do. You know, I thought about how that when I was studying this, I thought about how that there have been men and women that have invested years of their life in education to be able to learn a certain trade. And I thought about people that have studied medicine. I know our daughter-in-law Brittany is an RN, and when she told me several times that when she was going through nursing school that it was very difficult for her. She said it was the courses were very difficult. And, you know, there are those who studies like Brother Collins has to become physicians. And they spend, 8 years or so of rigorous learning. And there's a lot that they have to learn. I remember one time having a doctor tell me that all the years of medical school that he had migraines. There's a lot that they study and learn. And if someone, it's my understanding, if someone wants to be a surgeon, that it takes them 12 to 13 years of schooling in order to be able to become a surgeon. And then with all of this that they learn, they realize that they have limits to what they're able to do. You know, sometimes a surgeon, sometimes the finest surgeon in the land has to look at someone and say, "I just can't do anything about your condition. I can't do surgery on you. It's gone too far. There's nothing that we can do about that." But listen, I believe to show the great superiority of Jesus Christ, the great preeminence of the Lord Jesus Christ, how that he is so much above anybody that's ever lived. When you think about all that, all the years that men have studied and all the things that they had to learn in order to be able to go about their profession. Yet in the 9th chapter of the Gospel of John, the Bible tells us one time that Jesus encountered a blind man. A man that was blind from his birth. And he just spit on the ground. Spit on the ground. Made some clay. And anointed the eyes of the man. And guess what? He was able to see. Isn't that something? To be able to have the power and to have the ability to be able to heal someone, not someone that had had some kind of accident that had made them blind that could be repaired. But the Bible is talking there about someone that was born that way. This man had never been able to see, and Jesus took a little bit of spit and a little bit of dirt and mixed it up and put it on the man's eyes and gave him sight. I'm telling you, Jesus, to put it in what a lot of, I guess in the words a lot of young people use today, I'm telling you, he's the man. He's the man. The Bible tells us, the Apostle Paul said, I believe in 1 Timothy 2 and 5, the Apostle Paul made this statement. He said, there's one God. There is one God. And there is one mediator between men and God. Guess who it is? The man, Christ Jesus. The Bible teaches us that there's one way to be saved. One way for a person to be born again. One way for a person to be saved. Guess who that's through? Jesus. I want to read in Colossians chapter 1. I want to read you some of the beautiful things that the Apostle Paul wrote about Jesus. Colossians chapter 1, beginning with verse 15. He's talking about Christ here, and he says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created. Remember what John said, and what is recorded in the first chapter of the Gospel of John? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Well, Paul said that by Him, that by Jesus, were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body. Listen, there's one that's the head of the church. Who is it? Jesus Christ. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. In all things He might have the superiority. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. The Apostle Paul goes on in this epistle, in Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, and he said, for in Him, that is in Jesus, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form. All the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form. Now, you know, we can cross the line in a hurry if we begin to boast about one another, can't we? I mean, we really can. You can exalt a man above what you ought to. Somebody sometimes can begin to boast about another person and just cross the line as to what we really ought to say. But I'll tell you what, you can't say too much about Jesus. You can't boast too much about Him. We could never, with our feeble expressions, we could never give Him the glory and the honor that He truly is worthy of. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Folks, I've never known anybody like Him. You know, there are people in the world today. I want you to listen to this if you're here today and you're lost and without the Lord. There are people in the world today that they rise to great positions of fame. They become very famous. There are people that rise to positions of great worldly power. And it seems that more often than not, when they do, they abuse that power. There are people that rise to great positions of wealth. And listen, there are people in this world that would look down their nose at you and wouldn't have a thing to do with you and wouldn't even consider you worthy of their time. There are people that feel like they're just above everybody else and they would not give you the time of day. But listen, the greatest person that ever lived, the greatest man there has ever been, came here, humbled himself, emptied himself, the Bible tells us. He humbled himself, which means he emptied himself, and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The world was not worthy of him. He's too good for us. He was just too good for us. He was just too holy and too pure for us. But he humbled himself and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He humbled himself and he died for sinners. Sinners. We're talking about the man that was able to speak to the wind and cause it to lay down. We're talking about the man that was able to spit on the dirt and make a blind man see. You know, listen, anybody else, I suppose, if they could have done the things that Jesus could have done, their head would have been so big they'd have never got through the door. But he humbled himself. Even though he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, yet he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. You know, what the Bible teaches me, the way that Jesus looks at it, you want to know who those are that the Lord believes are great in his kingdom? Those who serve. Those who serve. And so he gave his life a ransom for sinners. For sinners. For people that were not worthy of him. Truly, we were not worthy of him. But yet he died for our sins. And, you know, Jesus, when he died and they took him down from the cross, and they, if you really want to think about the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ, he died and they took him down from the cross and they laid him in a tomb. And you know what? When he was ready, well, he just got up. He just got up. On scheduled time, he just got up from the dead by his own power. Beat that one. Let me see anybody match that one. Jesus said, I've got the power to lay it down. I've got the power to take it up again. Oh, that foolish Pilate. What a fool he was to think that he had power over Jesus, wasn't he? Don't you know I've got the power to let you go, or I've got the power to have you condemned? What a foolish man. What a stupid thing to say. To think that he had power over somebody that could speak to the wind. Jesus said, you couldn't have any power over me at all unless it were given to you from above. Jesus said this himself. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Jesus is so great that Acts chapter 4, verse 12 tells us that there is no salvation in any other. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. What manner of man is this that can speak to your soul and say, peace, be still? Now, those who have been saved, we understand this in a spiritual sense. We understand what happened out there that day with those disciples on that ship when that wind was gone crazy and was tossing them about. And they were fearing for their lives and fearing that they were going to perish. Those who have been saved understand what it is to have that going on in your soul and then cry out to Jesus and have Him just speak peace to you. And have you ever really felt a greater calm than that? Mansions will glitter on the hills of glory. Those are the words of a song. Mansions will glitter on the hills of glory, but Jesus will outshine them all. Jesus will outshine them all. I'm happy to tell you today, if you're here and you're lost, I'm happy to share with you today that you can know Him, you can know Jesus in a pardon and forgiveness of sin. He can be your Savior, and you can have a personal relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If you'll repent of your sins and trust in Him, you can be saved, and you can know Him as your Savior. While we have a song,